Hey guys, welcome to a new Off the Record podcast here at CycloneFanatic.com. I'm your host, Chris Williams. We had a little bit of a scheduling conflict with former Cyclone AJ Klein this week. He was supposed to be on the podcast with us. We'll catch up with him here in the next couple weeks before the Panthers camp gets started. But today I've got another treat for you. Former Iowa State men's basketball player Chris Bapp joins us on the Off the Record podcast that today is brought to you by our good friends, our loyal partners at the Iowa Clinic Men's Center, iamenscenter.com. I love them there. Dr. Nicholson in Ankeny is my dude. I used to hate going to the doctor. Still don't like it, but at least I can talk sports with him when I go in there. You know what another thing has been great for my family now that I've got a little girl? She means the world to me, and sometimes you just can't get an appointment at a pediatrician, and the urgent care there in Ankeny is the one that we go to. Monday through Friday, 7 to 7. Saturday and Sunday hours are key when you've got a little one. Need to get them seen. Why she had that fever? I'm freaking out. 8 to 3 are those clinic hours, the urgent care hours. They've got them in West Des Moines and Ankeny. Check them out. Thanks to the Iowa Clinic, iowaclinic.com, iamenscenter.com. All right, let's catch up with former Iowa State basketball player Chris Bapp. I talked to him earlier on Wednesday in Los Angeles. Well, I'm talking with a guy who's been all over the globe since he left at Iowa State. He spent some time in the NBA, spent some time in the D League. I've got a fan favorite from the Hoiberg era, Chris Bapp, with me. Chris, I was looking up where you played most recently, and I couldn't even pronounce it. Catch Cyclone fans up on where you've been, man.
The last place I was in Ulm, Germany. My team name was Retio Farm Ulm. They just do kind of the sponsor name as the kind of the team name, so they just kind of leave it at that.
Okay, I got you. Do you have plans for next year yet? Do you know where you'll be playing?
Yeah, I'm actually, they re-signed me. The same team did, and they gave me an option, an NBA out, to where if I were to get picked up by an NBA team this summer, then they would let me out of my contract to do that. So yeah, I'm just kind of waiting around this probably next couple weeks, and hopefully I should have a better idea of the future for next season.
Before we get more into your basketball career, and I want to talk to you about your brother and some Iowa State stuff. I wanted to tell you congratulations too. I know a lot of our listeners will enjoy hearing about the birth of your daughter. Tell everybody listening what's her name and how's that experience been for you here the last couple weeks.
Her name's Ellie Nicole, a little baby girl. She was just born on the 9th. It's been amazing so far, man. She was born a month early. It's a funny story. I had just landed in Ames to visit my little brother on the day on that Friday. And my girl called me probably about 2 hours after I had landed and told me that, you know, that it was about to happen now. And I need to, so I flew into Ames and flew out of Ames in the same day. So it was a little funny story, but I made it. And we were in the hospital for about 3 or 4 days, but I mean, she's doing really well. And my girlfriend Samantha, she's doing really well. So we just took her home last night. So everything's going really well right now, man.
That's great. I had a daughter 18 months ago, and they're the best. I wouldn't trade it for anything. What how is that like, man? Do you fly, getting a quick flight out of Ames? Were you flying private or something? Because that seems difficult.
I flew out of Des Moines.
Oh, so Des Moines. Okay, that makes more sense.
I was in Ames with my little brother for probably less than 3 hours. Then I got that call and turned right back around and went to Des Moines and got out of there.
How's your little brother doing?
I mean, he's doing well. From what I hear, I think that little trigger kind of clicked in his head to kind of see his role on this team. And I hear he's been in the gym nonstop. I think the older guys, you know, Naz, Monte, guys like those have really been pushing him, kind of showing him that what his potential could be. You know, I'm hearing he has a really high ceiling. I think he's in a really good place. I think he's in really good shape. He's putting on some weight. He's been in the room a lot. But yeah, man, I think he's going to be special.
What was that conversation like when he decided to transfer to Iowa State? I assume that you are a fairly integral part of that. What advice did you give him, and how did that all go down?
Well, I mean, of course, I was happy to see him want to make that switch, but I mean, at the same time, I just wanted him to make the move that was going to be best for him in his career and his education. But when he told me that, you know, Iowa State, you know, that he wanted to make that move, you know, I was thrilled. Obviously, I have nothing but great things to say about that. You know, I mean, classrooms to teach, and you know, obviously, I had nothing but great things to say. And you know, he was excited. You know, I'm not too familiar with Coach Fromm, but you know, he had success since he's been there so far. So I'm excited for him to play for him.
So there were some rumors going around that I don't know if he said it or one of the coach. I think it was Nick saying that he wanted to be a better defender than you. That was his goal. What do you think about that?
Man, I think he can do it. Honestly, I think he got the more athletic gene. You know, I think I was just strong, and you know, so I think I use that to my advantage. But I think he's way more athletic than I am, and he's probably faster and longer arms. So I think he can do it. Honestly, you know, if he puts his mind to it, I think defense is a kind of more of a mental and basketball IQ thing. So if he really studies that, and I mean, athletically he can do it. You know, if he puts the time in and really studies that film and puts his mind to it, I have no question he can do that.
How often do you, especially when you're in Germany and you're all over the world, how often were you able to keep up with Iowa State basketball the last couple of years?
Well, one of the downfalls of being over there is games don't come on until 2 or 3 a.m. A lot of the big games that were on ESPN, I was able to stream them online on my laptop, and so I was able to do some of that. But a lot of the times I was just checking my ESPN app and checking Twitter and seeing how everything was going throughout the season. I talked to him a lot too, so he was giving me a lot of the inside scoop on how things were looking. So, I mean, I didn't get to watch a lot of the games, but I still kept up for sure.
You went undrafted, but you've had a cup of coffee with the Celtics. You were an integral part of their D-League program the last couple of years. And it's been fun watching your career develop. I guess George Niang just signed a contract with the Pacers, and Abdul Nader, he was drafted in the second round by the Celtics. When these guys are going through summer league, if they were to pick up the phone and call you, what kind of advice would you give them on as far as, you know, making it to the league, getting that contract like you did? And I mean, how hard is it for them, and what advice would you give at this point?
I mean, funny thing is, George did call me while he was in Orlando.
There you go.
So yeah, he was just kind of like, you know, he was surprised at how fast paced that game is, and how just different, how much more space there is on the court, and how a lot of it's a lot of one-on-one situations, and you know, how tough that game is. That taking that next step. And, you know, I just kind of told him to play his game. I mean, one of the best things about George is his ability to play at his own pace and not really get sped up no matter who he's playing against, you know, bigger or smaller, faster, stronger guys. He does a really good job playing at his own pace, and, you know, he just thinks the game so well. So I just told him to really focus on that. You know, same thing with Nader. You know, he's athletic, he's strong, you know, he's big for the wing position. You know, so I think, I mean, from what I hear, he's been doing amazing so far. Him and George both did really well in summer league. So I mean, I'm excited for these guys to see where their career goes this next season.
Chris, Iowa State fans still, I hate to bring it up to you, but they still haven't gotten over that Ohio State game, your last game in an Iowa State uniform. Well, you can be honest with me. We're a few years out. If you don't hurt your ankle, you guys win that game, right?
I agree. I there's no doubt in my mind that we. I mean, we had a great first half. I mean, we put ourselves definitely in position to go to that Sweet 16 game.
I thought so too. I think you guys would have gone to the Final Four that year. Am I being a little bit too nuts here?
No, I mean, I don't exactly remember who was on that side, but I think there were a few upsets. Already.
Yeah, there was. There were a ton of upsets. Yeah.
Yeah, I honestly think we had a really good chance to make it to that. Yeah, to have a special run in that year. I wish we were able to do that for Coach Hoiberg in his first couple years. You know, but you know, the ball doesn't bounce your way sometimes, and you know, so we are. You know, so I try and, I mean, obviously still think about it, but you know, it sucks at how it happened, but, you know, everything kind of happens for a reason, in my opinion. And, you know, I think things bounced, you know, happened the way they did. But, no, I definitely agree that that we could have made a special run, you know, had things gone our way.
Do you have a favorite memory, like a favorite game from your Iowa State career? Favorite, I don't know, maybe it's like a flight, something funny happened. Is there anything specific that stands out to you?
On the court, definitely that that dagger I hit against Kansas to take them out my junior year when we rushed the court.
Oh yeah,
and that was definitely one of my on court favorite things that happened. Off the court, I think Hoiberg and the whole coaching staff did a really good job of just bringing in good guys. You know, what I mean, we really meshed together. You know, a lot of the guys were transfers and, you know, came from all sorts of different backgrounds and situations. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think he just did a really good job of bringing in good guys. And, you know, I think we really did a great job of bonding. And, you know, we all lived, you know, in the vicinity of each other. And we just spent so much time together. You know, and I'm still close with, you know, even the young guys that were there, Naz, George, you know, and, you know, Will Clyburn and Corey. We still keep up, you know, almost daily. Those are just special things that, you know, I think Hoiberg did a really good job of implementing in his program when he first got there.
I've covered you guys for long enough now, and I've seen enough transfers. I feel like there's a trend, and I think it'll be interesting to get your take on it. I feel like that when you guys come in, when you transfer into a program, that there's almost this is a last chance opportunity to accomplish my dream, which for most guys is to be able to be paid to play basketball, to make a living doing it. And I feel like you mentioned with your brother earlier, like that something clicked. Does that happen for most guys? I mean, did it happen for you? And am I on to something when it comes to just the, you know, the anatomy of how a transfer develops?
Definitely. You know, and I think Hoiberg was one of really the first college, or kind of one of the first coaches to implement that in the college. I mean, I know there was transfers before, but kind of put a whole core together of transfers. You know, I think that was kind of one of the first situations that had happened. And I think that has a lot to do with his NBA background in the front office of kind of bringing together like free agents, in my opinion. You know, I think he just kind of, I think he's able to pick and choose guys who are kind of proven already, who've kind of shown what they can do. You kind of know their game. You know what you can do on the court. So he's able to watch film and say, okay, this is what this guy does. This is what this guy does. So we can bring all these guys together and put them in this situation, and, you know, hopefully, in, you know, it work out. And I think he has a keen eye for basketball talent and good guys. And I think, you know, it really worked out in his favor. And I now see it kind of happening a lot around the country.
Yeah, no, you're right, because when Fred started doing it, there weren't many transfers were kind of taboo, right? And now,
right.
Now Coach Krzyzewski's doing it, like everybody's in the transfer game.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, he kind of started the thing. I mean, I think he caught a lot of backlash with, you know, some guys who have been kicked out of school or, you know, whatever the situation was. You know, we were bringing in thugs, and we were bringing in guys who were troublemakers, and, you know, I think he just saw people for who they are. You know what I mean? Not what the media portrays, and, you know, not, he kind of let all that stuff go and really got to know us as people. I know myself specifically, he just kind of sat me down in his office and just kind of picked my brain and just kind of got to know me. You know what I mean? I think he spent a lot of time really getting to know people as humans and not just basketball players. I think he was just a really special coach, in my opinion.
It's funny. I always wondered about that. So when I just remember when you guys were all sitting out, and I remember going to watch you and how big the crowds were at the Capital City League, because nobody had really seen you guys play. And everybody's like, man, you know, that's like the best scout team in America, et cetera. And there was a lot of negative stuff said about you guys, though, locally and nationally. They called you guys, you're right, you used the word thug, they criminals. And I used to be like, dude, like most of these guys, like they don't even have anything on their record. Did you guys talk about that? Did that piss you guys off?
I don't even think so, to be honest with you. I mean, and honestly, at that time, it was really before social media wasn't huge back then. You know,
yeah.
there was Twitter, but I mean, it wasn't as big as it is now. So, I mean, we didn't really see a lot of it. You know, I mean, we just kind of caught wind of it from a lot of times when we would do interviews with reporters, they would say, oh, you know, people are saying this, this, this. And at that time, you just kind of like, oh, I mean, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just kind of, you got to kind of brush it off. But, you know, I mean, now I'm sure it would be even bigger backlash with how big social media has gotten now. I'm sure it would be a much bigger deal than it was at the time. But no, I mean, it was really kind of a laughable thing. Because, I mean, like you said, no, I mean, there was no records. It was more, you know, guys that, I mean, you know, and you're talking about 18, 19-year-old college kids.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Of course, there's going to be, at some point, something that you look back on like, man, that was stupid. If I'd have done that different, you know, what would have happened?
Absolutely.
But, I mean, you know, it's just dumb stuff like that kids do. You learn from it. But you're not going to just hold that against them and say, no, you don't deserve to have a college degree and get a chance to get paid to play basketball.
What was that? Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there.
Go ahead.
What was that sit-out year like? Did you guys – I know you guys were beating up on the other guys a little bit, but that had – you guys – I mean, that's a lot of competitive dudes sitting around there. And you guys – I remember you always had to sit behind us there at the media bench. And, man, that had to be rough.
Yeah, I mean, it was. It was tough, honestly. I mean, it got to that point, you know, when we – I mean – the guys fought. I mean, they fought with what they had. You know, we probably went about 6 or 7 deep on that team and still managed to go 500 that season. I mean, they fought hard, and I think a lot of that was how competitive we were in practice. You know, because, I mean, I think our five could have taken on a lot of those teams in the Big 12 that season. I mean, I think them kind of having a chance to go against them and, you know, go against us every day. Yeah, like you said, we were competitive, and I think that was big for our bond. You know, and then Corey and Will came in the next season, did the exact same thing, and, you know, they gave us the blues when during practice. And, you know, it was the same thing, and it really got us ready to play. And it kind of put that chip on our shoulder. You know, anytime you get your ass kicked in practice, you want to use that. You know what I mean? You come in the next day like, it's time to come back. I mean, I think they went to a lot of games with that mindset. Like, okay, you know, it's been a rough week of practice, and, yeah, I think Hoiberg did the same thing too. Because, I mean, at the time it was TJ was kind of the scout team coach, and he did the film. And he kind of used that to his advantage. And you know, he really did a good job of coaching us, and he did a really good job with film and had us ready to go. So when we were coming to practice, and it was you know, basically like a 5-on-5 scrimmage, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I knew it was unrealistic, and it's no need to, like, I'm not dissing on the other guys, but I always wanted Hoiberg to give Deontay Garrett a red shirt that year so he could play with you guys. How sick would that have been?
I think there was a lot of talk in that situation. I mean, I don't know honestly for a fact, but I wouldn't be surprised if that conversation was had. I mean, I agree. There was a lot of talk about that, but I mean, I think that would have been really good, because I think that was kind of the one thing we were missing was a point guard. You know, we had Chris Allen and Scotty who were running the point for us, and, you know, and obviously Royce did his thing at the point, but I think, I think if we had a true point guard, like, I mean, Deontay Garrett is a special, special point guard. I mean, there's a reason he was in the NBA, and he's making the amount of money he is now playing around Europe. He's a special point guard, and he was great for, the reason for a lot of the success that team did have that season.
You brought up Royce. Yeah. Have you heard from him lately?
No, I mean, I haven't talked. I kind of keep up with him on social media, and you know, I always want to check up on him. But I mean, being in Germany, it's kind of hard to check up on people with the 7 to 9 hour time difference. And but no, I mean, I think he's doing well. I'm pretty sure I saw he had. I think he might have went to a mini camp, you know, with a couple NBA teams this season, and you know, he's in shape. And I mean, but I think the biggest thing for him is he's promoting and his businesses and, you know, his mental illness things, and I'm really happy for him that if he's doing well in those.
So I got to go to Dallas this weekend for the Big 12 media days for the football, you know, and I've been invited to a Cyclone gathering at the Bab barbecue joint.
Of course.
What do I get, man? Like, what's the best Bab barbecue I should rock out on?
So my go-to when I go in there, I do the 3 meat special, the combo. I do it with the ribs, turkey, and brisket.
Mm.
And then my sides, I go with the cheesy potatoes and the baked beans is my go-to. And if you're really hungry and want to do dessert, then they have amazing banana pudding. It's my go-to. And if you're in the drinking mood, grab a frozen margarita, and you can call it a day.
Man, that sounds amazing.
that's my go-to. I mean, that was literally my dad picked me up from the airport when I landed from Germany. Went over there, and that was my exact meal right when I landed. That was exactly what I got.
Your old man turned into a pretty big Cyclone fan, didn't he, when you were there?
Oh, yeah, he's loved it. I mean, he had a couple Cyclone pictures around the restaurant.
Nice.
And, Yeah, I mean, my picture's up there. My brother's picture's around there, and he's got my jerseys up there. I mean, so he's just really supportive of me no matter what. But yeah, Cyclone, I mean, he's a big Iowa State. You know, he loves it. He had an amazing time when he came up to Hilton. He came up there, I think, when we beat Baylor. I think when they were top 10, he rushed the court, and he was up there for that game. So, you know, both my parents have had great experiences in Hilton. I mean, people love him up there. They love talking to him. And, you know, and I think it goes to show with how much support they show with the Dallas headquarters of the, you know, the alumni meeting at his restaurant. I mean, I can't say how thankful we are for that. I mean, that's really special that, you know, I mean, just shows how special Iowa State is as a program.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to it, man. I got my mouth watered now. I'm gonna get the three meet on Sunday night. Chris, it's been a pleasure catching up with you, man. Really good time.
Oh, thank you, man. I appreciate that. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thank you very much, and best of luck. And tell your little girl hello on behalf of the entire Cyclone Nation. We're glad to have her on board. Okay.
Man, I appreciate it.
Guys, thanks for listening to this week's Off the Record podcast here at CycloneFanatic.com. Brought to you proudly. I'm so happy to have the Iowa Clinic Men's Center on board sponsoring this podcast. The ones with Prome and Matt Campbell were each downloaded over 30,000 times. You guys love this type of content, and we're going to keep bringing it to you. Thanks to our friends at the Iowa Clinic. IowaClinic.com, IAMenCenter.com. Be a man. Go to the doctor. Get that annual physical. Tell them that Cyclone Fanatic and Chris Williams sent you. We'll have more podcasts coming up. Brent Bloom's going to join me for our annual preseason football podcast. Those will be coming up here in a couple of weeks. Jamie Pollard, Iowa State's athletic director, he is committed as well. We'll try and catch up with AJ Klein there here in a couple of weeks. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks to the Iowa Clinic. We'll be back with more. Plenty of coverage coming up next week, courtesy of the Iowa Clinic as well. I will be on my way to Dallas on Sunday night for the Big 12 Media Day. Something could be brewing down there with that board of directors meeting on Tuesday. It'll be interesting to find out. Thanks for listening. A lot of more podcasts coming up later in the week here at Cyclone Fanatic. Take care.